Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RHAPBNB, a Survivor Fun and Games podcast. My name is Liana Boris, here to talk about Survivor Season 35, Episode 13. Now, I know what you might be thinking. This is not the sultry sound of Mike, self-proclaimed man-whore Bloom. Now, Mike is on the voicemail show this week, so we decided to spare you a double dose of Bloom. Which actually, now that I say that out loud, kind of sounds like something that could be dangerous to your health. But never fear, we have a wonderful panel for you today. My co-host, you may have heard him on the voicemails this season or on the podcast last week, filling in for me as I was trapped due to snow in Austin, Texas. We have our quote-unquote head writer, Paul Osleson, is here. Paul, how are you doing?
Hey, Liana, my voice is not that far off from Mike Bloom. We were just talking in the pre-taping here about I just have to go just a little bit higher and talk just a little bit faster. And hey, I can be Mike Bloom.
I can't even tell the difference, honestly. We could just,
you shouldn't have said anything.
That's right. That's how I should have started. Yeah, I'm just taking a chance to host the show this week. And we have Mike Bloom, as always.
And what a sultry voice that is. That's right, Mike?
Sultry, that's right. No wonder he was a man whore. Okay, but now. Paul is here with us and we are not alone. Our guest this week was supposed to be John Krause, who was one of my fellow competitors from the So You Think You Can podcast competition. He is actually, we just found out, trapped in an airplane or at the airport. So obviously, apparently, whatever I did rubbed off on him. So he will not be here this week. So as a very, very last minute replacement, we have somebody who you have heard on this podcast before, who is also one of my fellow competitors from So You Think You Can podcast. Puya, welcome back to the BNB.
It's me. Hey, guys, thanks for having me. You know what they say? Getting up early pays off. Sometimes you never know when you're going to get asked to be on the BNB. So I'm glad to be here.
That's right. Well, actually, it's like it's my fail safe. I just sort of like yell at you on Twitter until you wake up just in case.
Yeah.
But actually, well, so we don't, this is the BNB, which stands for Boris and Bloom, as some people are still discovering. So one of you is going to have to change your name. So I hope you're okay with that.
I'll do it. I can be Puya Band Vakili. That's pretty badass.
Or well, yeah, actually,
I was gonna be like Paul Bad Ass Listen or something.
Well, actually, that reminded me. What we could do is we could just make it the BA version of the BNB, since Paul Osleson, yeah. Liana Boris, yay. Okay. So now we usually like to start with our guest's Survivor history, but Puya, since we've already talked about that, I know you Benjamin Buttoned your way through Survivor. Mm-hmm. So instead of talking about that, we actually thought it would be fun to rank the past 7 seasons of Survivor. So this has been a hot topic on Twitter for the past couple of days. And so we thought that we would give our opinion and give our rankings. So those past seasons we're going to put into contention are San Juan del Sur, Worlds Apart, Second Chances, Ko Rong, Millennials v Gen X, Game Changers, and then this season of Triple H. So, but we're going to do our Triple H ranking based on what we've seen so far, and then give maybe, if this happens or if this doesn't happen in the finale, how our ranking might change. So Paul, let's start with you. What would be your ranking of the past 7 seasons of Survivor?
Right. Move over Dalton Ross. No one cares what he has to say. It's all about these badass B&B predictions here. It's what everyone's going to be talking about.
That's right.
Well, it's interesting for me to rank these seasons because I'm someone with for so many seasons of Survivor, I've watched so many times. And so I have, if I do have to do some kind of ranking, I have really complex reasons why I rank things. I have not rewatched any of these seasons, so it really is kind of just based on my my thought of them right now, whatever taste is in my mouth, bitter or sweet, how I think about these seasons. So it was kind of interesting to have this exercise of ranking them. And if I think back past these past few years, I think for me, and I was just talking about this with my wife Alice the other day, is that Ko Rong just really stands out as like that was the last like great, great, great Survivor season. So I'm definitely going to put Ko Rong first, and maybe a little bit more of an unpopular opinion, but a season that I'm really excited to rewatch hopefully soon. I'm going to put San Juan del Sur as second. I have a lot of like good memories of San Juan del Sur. I have a lot of good podcast memories of listening to the podcast about San Juan del Sur. Obviously a lot of great characters from that season who come back later on. So I'm going to rank that second, followed with Second Chances third. A lot of fun in that season, although very, very strategic heavy. I'm really excited to break that one down one time again. And then rounding out the batch, I have Millennials versus Gen X, Game Changers, and Worlds Apart. Now, this season we're on right now, depending how it shakes out, I'm going to probably say I'm going to put it in the bottom tier. It kind of depends if Ben is actually going to win this thing in the end. And if it's like, oh, saw that coming, you know, 10 episodes ago, that will definitely play a factor for me. But yeah, that's kind of where I thought. I'm interested to hear how you guys ranked these last six seasons.
Yeah, Puya, what did you think? How were your rankings any different?
My rankings were very similar to Paul's. I like to see that we're on the same wavelength. I think the only difference in my ranking is San Juan del Sur is number one for me, and then Ko Rong is third, and then everything else is kind of the exact same spot.
Okay, wow, this is really boring because my rankings are exactly the same. Like, I had San Juan del Sur first, Ko Rong, Second Chances, Millennials, Gen X, Game Changers, Worlds Apart.
Hey, this podcast promises fun and games. It does not promise diverse opinions or deep discussion or debate.
That's right.
So sorry.
Okay, well, that was a fun exercise. I do think, so I probably also, you know, I think that Heroes, Healers, Hustlers is actually going to be, you know, Paul, you talked about rewatching. I think it's going to be a really fun season to rewatch because I think that there are a lot of elements of foreshadowing that, you know, just sort of casually thinking back, you know, I mean, the Ben Chrissy relationship, the Devin Ryan relationship, seeing sort of the seeds of that and then how that changed. So, I mean, I think that, you know, think about, okay, well, what's going to happen in the finale? I don't think really anything that happens is going to change my mind on where I would rank it. I think it's really going to depend on the rewatch. So it's going to be interesting to see sort of how my opinion changes when I do that. But okay, that being said, well, that was a super fun exercise. Tweet at us if you have any complaints about our pretty much identical rankings. But let's get into our thoughts on this, the episode itself. So this was, you know, a pretty crazy episode. We have Ben find another idol. He plays it before the votes. And then ultimately we see Ashley go home. So now, Paul, I know that Joe teased this as a pretty crazy tribal council on Twitter, but what were your thoughts on this episode?
You know, the episode was fun to watch. It was fine. I was like trying to put into words about this. Like, I don't want to be a person that's just like, oh, this season sucks. Survivor's doing nothing right.
That's a really good Mike Bloom impression.
I know. I was like, I feel like Mike Bloom would be way more positive than that because that's how Mike Bloom is. So sorry. Like, you know, my Mike Bloom would be like, oh yeah, you know, it was slow for a bit, but it's really, really heating up. It's really, really great, guys. I love it. I love Survivor. Great. Love parade.com. Woohoo. No. So Survivor this season, I was trying to think like how to put into words because I hear, you know, a lot of the feedback and there are some people who are really talking it up and stuff. And I think I've kind of come to this conclusion as we move towards the end of this game. I think the season is mechanically sound. It's a very solid, even good season in terms of we're getting the unpredictability. We're getting a lot of developed characters. We're getting a lot of fun things. But for me, like, I just personally, the characters themselves, like, I don't have that deep of an attachment with. And I don't think it's anything the show isn't doing wrong necessarily. Like I said, my one beef I have is potentially the whole Ben story arc. But other than that, like, I don't think the show is necessarily doing anything wrong. I just think sometimes you get down to the group of people that even if they're as well developed as these ones are, and I really cannot complain about how they've presented these people's storylines, I just don't feel like that super extra spark, you know, among a lot of them. Like, I'm kind of just rooting for Chrissy just because I think she's like the most interesting and her like slight condescending nature and the way she talks and stuff cracks me up. But I'm like, that's not really what I want. I don't want to go to the finale. Like, I'm rooting for the slightly condescending mom because I think it'd be funny if she won. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. I'm really excited to see how it finishes out, especially with, you know, Jeff Probst hyping up the end of the season. So I think it's good. It's solid. It's good. What do you both think of the season?
Yeah, well, that's really interesting because I think I've heard the opposite as well, is that the game mechanics of, oh, there's so many advantages, you know, in pre-merge, post-merge, all these idols, you know, the only thing that's keeping Ben here is, his ability to find so many idols, and then they're invested in the characters. So Puya, where do you come down on sort of this discussion?
Oof, it's kind of a hybrid situation for me. I mean, I feel like from day dawn, as the Australians would say, from like day one, getting the first one out series, I really did feel like this season, more so than the last couple, I felt an attachment to the characters, and like watching them play out, I do feel like even the show itself has done a great job of like portraying it and teaching us a little bit more about everyone and their dynamics. We start off with the Chrissy Ben alliance, we start out with the Devin Ryan, and then everyone like kind of meshes in together, then now Lauren's involved somehow. Like, I feel like it's had its ups and downs, and it's been like a slow cook for sure. And then it started sizzling closer to the end. Last time I was on here, I made it known that there's one person I don't want to see win. That person is still on finale night, could still have a shot. And I don't mean to rag on Ryan forever, but I think ultimately my experience with the show, I do have to agree with you, Leon. I think on a rewatch, this is going to be one of the more enjoyable seasons to watch. I think it'll like withstand the test of time. However, like as a season going live, it's been all right. I'm interested to see how it ends now. I think by everyone calling Ben like as a winner pick, like early favorite, if he does win, that's kind of like, eh, like I didn't want to see it coming, but I did tweet out this past week that this is the first time in a long time that we're going into the finale, and I genuinely cannot pinpoint who's going to win, who's got the heavy favorite. Because I would have maybe argued Devin, but now kind of looking at the way Devin's been talking with Ben and the way Devin like swerved Ashley and then Ashley swerved him, there's some game to be played still in the finale, which I feel like we don't often get the opportunity to see.
Yeah, I think for me, I honestly would probably be okay with anybody winning. You know, Ryan has really, I know he has all of those sort of forced analogies, but like his line this episode where he's, you know, he says in the background, like, that might have been better than my idol play. Like, it was just really funny. And then, you know, Ben has sort of had this arc of, you know, becoming this, the sort of the complete antagonist to the rest of the group. And oh my gosh, I don't know if you guys caught this, but at the beginning of the episode, when they have the sepia tones in the morning before Ben goes to look for the idol, he's sleeping and he opens his eyes. It was terrifying, but like in an exciting way. I was like, there's been so much talk of the survivor gods. I think we need a seance up in here to like help get rid of whatever is going on. And then Chrissy,
it was like Krampus levels of scary.
Yeah, it was exactly Krampus levels of scary. Yeah, we need to bring back Krampus for this podcast as well. And then, you know, Mike is just entertaining and hilarious. And, you know, Devin, I think probably if I had to bet, I would say he's winning, but he's been a really interesting sort of, you know, surfer bro who's can play the game type of character. So yeah, I mean, I think it's gonna be really interesting to see how the season ends.
Well, yeah, and I want to mimic like what you guys are both saying about this. I think like the really, really advantage this season has is that you're going in like feasibly anyone could win, which is like so rare that we get down to the end. And I think even, you know, in this episode here, Ashley was a potential winner. She probably was the least out of the six. So in some ways I'm glad that she's gone for that, but it's not in every season thing that we get to the end and you really could picture any of these people winning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So speaking of Ashley, let's get into Mike and I's preseason predictions for Ashley. So, Paul, you know that this is going to happen. You know, you've been on the show before.
Listen, I need to still show excitement. I am excited. I am the kingmaker because I get to pick it twice. So this is my
story. Well, you know, on this, people who listen to me on Survivor podcast and stuff, one of the, you know, little things I talk about always is like, what was Paul eating during this time on Survivor? And so I have like very like vivid memories of when I like listen to things or watch things, whatever. And I like now just got this memory back of like where exactly I was driving. I was like in a roundabout when Puya had to decide between the two of you last time. Like, this is coming back to me, this like driving around this roundabout and listening to Puya come with down with the decision here.
Yeah, it's literally coming around full circle.
It is.
So roundabout jokes. All right, so
that's Paul, what you get with this BA squad, huh?
Oh man, we are really testing the lines here. So badass. All right, so Paul is, instead of filling in for me this week, filling in for Mike. So Paul, what is it that Mike wrote about Ashley?
Right. And I thought about doing this all in the Mike Bloom voice, but I don't think I'll make it through the whole thing. So I'll give his president a take in the Mike voice because that's pretty short. So Mike wrote here, Ashley will stick out on Levu. God, it's been so long. I don't even say that. Is it Levu or Levu?
Levu.
Levu?
Okay. Levu Boo Bears.
Levu Boo Bears.
Oh, exactly. Sorry. I should have known. Ashley will stick out on Levu due to her admitted not so funny disposition, which will definitely emerge once hunger and the elements set in. However, she will hang on due to challenge wins and other immediate targets on their tribe should they lose. Hi, Katrina. When the tribes inevitably go from 3 down to 2, her fellow heroes will finally turn on her and that damn chicken will come home to roost. My prediction, pre-jury.
Damn, okay. Chicken Morris. All right.
And then his current take is, woof, that was a wipeout of a prediction.
Yeah, that does sound like Mike. I can see it. Maybe that's what we'll do for, you know, the next show that Mike's on. We're just going to have you like take clips of you talking, Paul, and just mash them all together and use that for Mike's
voice. That would be fun on the show proper. Woo-hoo. Man whore. <Woo-hoo.
laughs> Why does he have like a Care Bear giggle at the end of everything?
Okay, it's called the caricature, Liana. It's like not 100% accurate. It's funny, okay?
It's very amusing. Pretty close. Okay, so I had Ashley going post-merge.
Okay.
And I had said that Patrick is running the show.
Oh my god.
This was in the middle of the Patrick Alliance really being dominant. Yeah. After booting his rival Cole. But Ashley wasn't about to let any man dictate her game. You go, girl. Sadly, this is the reason for her demise, as the majority alliance decides they've had enough of her being a hangry thorn in their side. At least she wasn't medevaced for being bitten by a shark. And then in parentheses, I have written, was bitten by a shark, also wanted to play like Richard Hatch, comma, get it? So I wanted to make sure that like I remembered that this was a reference.
I feel like you should, I mean, I don't do the decision here. This is not, the ball's not in my court. But the fact that you mentioned hangry and then Ben called Ashley hangry this episode, that was pretty good.
See, yeah, well, I, you know, pick up on those little details that really matter for the B&B. All right, so Puya, what do you think? Who had the better prediction? Of course, use whatever criteria you'd like, as long as it favors me. So who do you think? Who are you picked to win?
Well, am I going to get a song entry this week? Is there one like hiding somewhere? Maybe that'll tip the scales. No. Okay, so I came into this, obviously, like having 45 minutes ago, thinking... Oh my God, I can't, like, Liana cannot get this one because then I just seem biased. But Ashley was pre-jury on Mike's, okay, for one. And then you had her, like, making merge, but also you had this big Patrick Alliance thing going on. And then I was like, I don't know. So now I think I found myself an out, gang. Paul, thanks for tipping the scales in Liana's favor. Liana, congratulations. I think you get the point here this week.
Hooray! Wait, what did Paul do?
The hangry thing.
I pointed out your detail-oriented mind, Liana.
Yes. Obviously, that I was not paying attention to the details of that conversation. Okay, awesome. Fantastic. I don't remember what the our running total is, but I'm going to say that I'm winning. So, yay me.
And no one's here to dispute
that.
Right. So, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Well,
like, I feel like last podcast, it just is like, just always say that, you know, Mike wins everything because Liana isn't here. Right. Now it's just the opposite. Like, yeah. Liana's going to win everything this episode because Mike isn't here.
I have a question about, so next week, you guys have 5 people's predictions laid out. Are you reading all 5 of them?
Yeah. I need like cliff notes. You guys might want to read just like brief summaries. Like,
yeah. Well, you know, that's a question for another day. We'll figure that out later.
All right.
So now we're going to get into our first segment of the week. So Puya, last time you were on the show, we played Shambo, which is our version of the game MASH, where we predicted how your Survivor game would play out if you were to be on Survivor. Well, as of about 40 minutes ago, we thought John was going to be playing this game. So we had prepared it for him.
And we thought we were going to get a lot of answers about naked survivors and drunk survivors. Yeah, so we really have to, switch gears here and be prepared for you.
Oh, my God. Well, right, I'm down for some redemption. Last time I won 420 immunities and I still didn't win the season. So bring it on. I'm ready.
Yeah, that was rough. Well, Puya, maybe you can remind people what happened the last time you played Survivor.
So the last time I played Survivor, I got the purple edit and I won a 420 immunities and I won a fishing kit at some point. And Jeff Probst referred to me as Winnie the Pooh the entire season.
Wow, that's how he should have introduced you.
Winnie the Pooh? No.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Aww. Okay.
There's better.
I don't think we can do better. Okay, so Puya, so we're going to play this game again and we're going to see if you can do better than the last time you quote unquote played Survivor.
Yes.
So we're going to do this similar to what we did last time, where I'm just going to ask for four different things from a specific category, and then we're going to run through and play the game. So first thing I'm going to need is the name of four Survivor contestants.
All right. Any four, any iterations, or just US?
US.
Okay. It's like flashbacks. Okay. Kim Spradlin.
Okay.
Colby.
Okay.
Colton.
Okay.
And Troyzan.
Okay. Now I'm going to need four numbers.
Ooh. All right. 17.
Mm-hmm.
67.
Mm-hmm.
420. It worked last time. We'll see. Uh-huh. And 394.
Okay. Okay, so this one may be a little difficult to describe, but I need four ways you might show your feelings towards another person. So this can be either positively or negatively, but like four sort of like physical actions you might do to show your feelings towards another person, if that makes sense. And we're going to see if this works out.
Okay, can I ask some follow-up questions maybe to make it a little clearer?
Okay, sure.
So is this like I'm doing it in a confessional or I'm doing it to their face?
No, to their face.
Okay. Flipping them off.
Okay.
Side-eyeing.
Okay.
Eye-rolling.
Okay.
Winking.
Okay. The last thing is I'm going to need four celebrities.
Four celebrities. Okay. Chris Tucker. If he still counts as a celebrity.
Okay.
Will Arnett.
Okay.
Jim Carrey.
Okay.
And Emma Stone.
Okay. So now, finally, what we're going to do is I'm going to say start, and you're going to tell me when to stop. Okay?
You got it.
Okay. Go.
Stop.
Alrighty, so I am going to run through, Puya, what your game would be on Survivor. But in the meantime, I wanted to get your thoughts on what we think this final secret advantage is going to be. It was teased on The Next Time On, where Jeff Probst says this, the secret advantage. So, Paul, what on earth do you think this is going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm so skeptical, like, to even know that, like, this is going to be like this crazy finale. It's going to be so great and stuff. And there's this advantage in the mix. Like, I'm wondering what exactly, because in the past, the advantages we've had is just like, the first time we started doing these at the finale were, simple things like you won extra food before your final challenge. Then we won an advantage in the next challenge. And then it just kind of has like revved up and up and up to, co-wrong voting someone off the jury. So I feel like you have to like one up that. So I feel like it's going to be a pretty big like structural change to the game. What are you thinking, Puya?
Well, I'm trying to like go through the advantages we've seen throughout the season so far. It's like we've seen an extra vote. We've seen a, you know, preventing someone to vote altogether. It could be kind of, it could be a vote steal. It could just be an advantage at the next immunity. It could be like idol adjacent, but it's not an idol, but you're safe, like the legacy advantage kind of thing. I'm not quite sure, honestly. And like, all I'm hoping for is that the advantage is they get like an extra piece of bacon at like breakfast.
Like but, one single piece of bacon.
Yeah, one crisp piece of bacon for you, Ben. Enjoy. No, I think it's going to be something big-ish. And I don't know if I'm ready for it, but I'm going to have to. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. So, Puya, I have what your fate in the game is going to be for this time when you play Survivor. Apparently you were asked back. You were, even though you got a purple edit, you were such, you know, such an entertaining character. They wanted to bring you back. So for your fate in the game, you were either, these are your options, rocked out, hashtag epic blindside, purple edit again, robbed G.Otis. Okay. And then also you were either the winner pick in the preseason of Kim Spradlin, Colby, Colton, or Troyzan. You had either 17, 67, 420, or 394 confessionals during the season.
Ooh.
And when your final gesture towards voting out your former ally when you hashtag blindsided them was either flipping them off, giving them the side eye, eye rolling, or winking. And at the reunion, you got $50,000 from either Chris Tucker, Will Arnett, Jim Carrey, or Emma Stone. So, ready to see how your game played out?
I am so ready for this. It's going to be fun.
Okay. You were the preseason winner pick of Troyzan.
And the crown goes wild.
That's something to you know, print out and hang up over your mantle.
Yeah, if you want one Survivor really having faith in you, I really think it's Troyzan.
I may not have won, but Troyzan thought Troyzan I would win.
Picked me.
That's right. You had 394 confessionals, so I'm pretty sure that that exceeds Russell Hantz.
That's like Russell Hantz almost times three. Congrats, man.
I'm the best.
That's right. The confessional game is flawed. And let's see. You winked at your former ally. And
that's kind of creepy, but
right. That is a little sinister.
What more do you expect from the winner pick of Troyzan? Okay, I had to go there.
It should have been like pretended to take a photo of them as they walked out. And then you received $50,000 from Jim Carrey at the reunion. And nice. your final fate in the game was a hashtag epic blindside.
Ow.
It could be worse. It sounds like you're memorable. So I this seems like way better than your last run.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll take it. I like it. I feel like everything lined up pretty well. I got $50,000 regardless, and Troyzan picked me, and I got blindsided. So technically, I was Rob G.Otis. So
well, I'm glad I didn't do that because I didn't know exactly what the categories were here with stuff, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna pick I'd pick four celebrities that came to the Survivor reunion. And so then if I would have done that, that would have been very boring.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, what do you think you did, Puya, so that Jim Carrey would give you $50,000? I'm actually a little terrified.
I think I must have, like, parodied him a little bit in a confessional or two. Maybe did an all righty then at some point. Or made faces. I feel like Jim Carrey would appreciate it.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
So you make Jim Carrey faces, but then you just give a wink, like.
Yeah, go big on the confessionals, and then go lackluster as hell in front of everyone else because, you know, shy and stuff.
Interesting.
Well, that's what they say, right? I mean, save it for the confessionals. And so you did all of your Jim Carrey impressions in the 394 confessionals you gave this season.
I had a lot of time to grow and improve upon it, so it worked out.
That's right. Okay, now, Paul, you have not played this game before, so I'm excited to see what your fate in the game is going to be.
Yes, me too.
So yeah, I don't know if you should be that excited. So we are going to do it the exact same way. I'm just going to ask for four different items from different categories, and then we'll play out your game. So the first thing I'm
all right. So is this me or is this like me, Mike Bloom inspired, or like what's my part here? Jim Carrey-ish? Like what am I going for?
Yes, actually. Okay, here's how you have to answer. You have to answer these questions if Mike Bloom were doing an impression of Jim Carrey.
Oh God.
No. You do you.
I have limits as a podcaster.
Right. We reach our improv limits eventually. No, you feel free to answer, however you'd like. But this, we'll say that this represents you in the game because we already had Mike play this game. And I can't remember what happened to him. So, all right, Paul, the first thing I'm going to need is four numbers.
Four numbers. Okay. Let's go 42 for the 42 days in Survivor Australian Outback. Uh-huh. There were 16 people. So let's go with that.
Okay.
There was one medevac in season two, my favorite season. And let's give it a two. It's my favorite season, season two.
Aw, that's really sweet.
I'm trying to go thematic here, okay?
Yeah, it's much more wholesome than like the 420 that we get from Puya.
420, 69. Okay, I teach high school German, and it's like every time we get to the numbers unit when I'm teaching German, it's like, no, you may not put 69 as your number. No, you may not put 420 as your number. No, you may not put 96 and flip it upside down. So don't even try.
Okay, so whatever little respect you may have for me, Paul, you're going to lose in this moment. So I went to I got a massage the other day, and I was like putting my stuff in the locker, and I had to come up with a 4-digit code, and so my 4-digit code was 6969.
Like, I mean, for yourself, like I would do that for myself, but like in a public, you know,
right, sure,
event,
sure.
I don't know.
Okay, now I'm gonna need four animals.
Ooh, four animals. Okay, let's go. I'm gonna go with one of my other favorite seasons. Let's go to Survivor Africa, and they quiz them on the big five in Survivor Africa. So I'm gonna pull out from, what if I just said the big five? You can just rattle those off, right?
Oh yeah, no, I definitely remember that.
All right, so let's go lion, let's go leopard, let's go, what else is in it now? I'm really bad at this now. Water buffalo.
Okay.
And I think they also include the, it's supposed to be like the five dangerous ones, right? Elephant, maybe. Okay, let's put an elephant. I'm not sure if that is in the top five or an actual big five, but let's go with it.
Okay, sure. All right, now I need four advantages.
Oh gosh. Okay.
any four advantages throughout the course of Survivor.
Okay, sure. Four advantages. So let's do a vote steal.
Okay.
This is more of just like a test. Can you name them all? Okay, vote steal. Cancel someone's vote.
Okay.
Extra food before a challenge.
Okay.
And consultation with Cochrane.
Oh my goodness. I know what I want this one to be. Okay. All right, and then the last thing I'm going to need is four former Survivor contestants.
Okay, let's go with Ashley Mazzaro from Survivor China.
Okay.
Let's go Mike Bloom's favorite, Ashley Ashby from Survivor Palau.
Okay.
Let's go the Ashley Underwood, Survivor Redemption Island.
Okay.
And let's go Ashley Trainer, Survivor Samoa.
Okay, you are very thematic.
I feel like Ashley's going to be in my future here.
I don't know why, but I, yeah.
This is the Ashley episode. I feel like we need to, you know, pay some respect here to all the great Ashleys who have played this game.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so again, I'm going to say start, and then you just tell me when to stop. Start.
Okay. Stop.
Okay. All right. So now I am going to play out what your Survivor game looks like.
First, we need a discussion topic.
But first, let's see.
What's up, Julie Chen? But first. No. Okay.
Yeah. I guess, there's a lot of talk about like character development and characters this season. Who would you say has been your favorite character to watch this season? Paul, like who would you say?
Well, like I said, I think Chrissy is a very fascinating person. She cracks me up, and I love watching her with a group of people. I obviously watch with my wife every week, and sometimes it's a mix of my brother and my, you know, very casual viewer mom who's watching it. And she just like gets reactions out of people, just like rolling their eyes and, oh my gosh, are people just laughing at her? So for me, she's been a very fun, interesting character. Not sure that she can win or not, but for me, she's a really bright spot in this finale here. So she's definitely the person I think that I gravitate to the most of course besides Rob Goddess Lauren, but she's no longer in the mix. Puya, besides Ryan, who's your favorite character?
Oh, ha ha ha, Paul. I feel like there's just been a lot of interest. It's been an interesting spread of people, and more so than that, there's been an interesting spread of how people are perceiving these people. Like just being on Twitter during commercials and watching like 85% of people say Chrissy's the worst. And then like 15% are arguing against that heavily. And then in the midst of all this, we had one JP. And like, I know I'm going to get flack for this, but like JP was to this day is like one of the most fascinating people because it just doesn't add up. This man does not add up as a human. I don't understand how you can have limited vocabulary, but then also do things, but then not be able to describe the things that you are doing. Like, I can't explain it. I was very drawn to that. Upset. Go ahead.
You're pretty much just as articulate as JP.
What? Are you kidding me?
Well, yeah. Did either of you see the Ponderosa video this week for Ashley?
I have not.
Nope. Okay.
You had a lot of time to prep for this show, Puya. Yeah. How dare you show up without watching it? Mirana, give us the recap, please.
Well, so it's all about Ashley trying to find her thing. So in all of the Ponderosa videos, you know, Lauren went crabbing. Cole went, I don't know, like he went to a waterfall or something like that. And so Ashley has been walking around trying to find her thing. And there's a really hilarious interaction with JP where she asked JP, you know, what she should do for her thing. And JP was like, you should go dolphin watching. And he was like, do you know how many dolphins we've seen out here? And she was like, no, how many? He was like, none. And then she leaves the room and she's just like, he's useless.
I see why he was cast.
Exactly. Okay. All right. So, Paul, are you ready to find out what your fate in Survivor is?
I am ready for my Survivor fate. I've been waiting for this for a very long time.
Okay. So, first, the number of times you said and things like that in the preseason. So, either okay. 42, 16, 1, or 2.
I'm hoping 1 or 2. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. The animal that you befriended and took to every tribal council.
So oh, I take them with me. Well, yeah, so that's okay.
Either, yeah, the lion, leopard, water buffalo, or elephant.
Okay.
And then what advantage did you throw in the fire? The vote steal, okay. The vote canceler.
I hope it's Cochrane. Yeah.
The extra food before the vote, and as you mentioned, Cochrane thrown in the fire. Although I don't know if Jeff Probst would allow that one. And then who did you propose to at the reunion?
I think I'm marrying an Ashley.
So, yes, I think one of the Ashleys, one of the various Ashleys you might be proposing to. So for your fate in the game, you either misplayed your secret advantage, probably because you threw it in the fire. You were either medevaced due to a disease you contracted from your animal friend. You either got an over-the-top edit, but you were out pre-jury, or you were the winner of the season.
All right, give me my fate, please.
Okay, so, Paul, you said and things like that one time.
Okay, that's good. That's good so far.
The animal friend that you took to tribal council was a water buffalo.
It's dangerous.
I don't know how you managed to do that, but that's pretty impressive.
I was hoping for like a Frank Garrison-esque like friend with the elephant, but no, this is the game has evolved. You know, back in season 3, they were befriending elephants. Now it's water buffalo, and we're taking them to tribal council with us.
I like the concept of you riding the water buffalo like into tribal. I think that would be pretty powerful.
And it's just in one of those transition shots of like everyone I'm in a line, but I'm just like on the water buffalo and like nothing's ever like said about it. I just do it.
Or, you know, like when Jeff Probst used to ride the jet ski and stuff to bring the votes to, to the reunion, maybe he rode your water buffalo this time.
I like this theme. Now you're catching on why I go with themes here, Liana.
I like it. The advantage you threw in the fire was extra food before the vote. So, sorry, you didn't toss Cochrane in there. But actually, that kind of makes sense if you're trying to cook it beforehand. Right.
Yeah. Maybe it was like Raw or something. Yeah. Okay.
And then you proposed to Ashley Ashby. So in true Mike fashion.
Hey, Paul, what are you doing? That's my girl. Yeah. But as we know in Survivor, just because you proposed to a early season boot who was not that interesting does not mean that marriage will ensue.
I just, for some reason, I now have this mental image of like Mike when he was younger making Valentine's Day cards and they're all Ashley Ashby themed. I would like to ask you a question. Okay. Oh, and then Paul, you were medevaced due to a disease you contracted from your water buffalo.
I know that's just like the, yeah. Oh, BT dubs.
Oh, by the way, yes.
You're also medevaced.
What we do, oh, okay. But...
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that.
This was my raw meat that I didn't cook well enough in the fire.
Oh, see, that's what it should have been. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was entertaining to say the least. So now we're going to be moving on to our next segment. Paul, what is it that you have for us?
Right. Well, I'm very excited for this. So I need you both to make sure you have a piece of paper and something to write with you, because this is going to help you in this game. So I actually got this game submitted online by a listener, Troy Steinmetz. Sent me this on Twitter, and it's a very fun Survivor Scramble, he calls it. So in this game, we're going to explore hidden identities of the Survivor 35 cast with some fun scrambles or anagrams of contestant names. So the game will consist of three rounds, each with a different kind of scramble. For each question, I will read off a scrambled survivor. The first to buzz in and guess the correct hero, hustler, or healer wins 1 point. Any questions?
Okay, so these are people from this season.
Correct. And before each round, I'll set up exactly so you know the guidelines of it. Troy was very nice here and even wrote out my script, so I didn't have to prep anything. This is all going to be super fun, and I think once we jump into it, you're going to know. I do need you to have something that you call out so I know that you would like to submit your answer.
Okay. Well, the last time we did this with Colin Stone, one, I did terrible at the mashups, and also we had a difficult time. So Puya, what is it that you would want to yell to signify that you have your answer?
You know, to give back to the Survivor veteran that picked me, I'm going to go with clack, 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 clack. Okay,
so like, all right. And then Liana's going to shout 69.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Done. So round one, we do a simple scramble. Rearrange the letters to see what we have. For example, you can arrange the letters in a Mike Bloom type to get mop like meat boy. Hey, that's actually a new podcast I have coming out next week. It's called Mop Like Meat Boy, where I talk to various meat vendors in New York City. Can't wait. That's like Mike Bloom's 69th podcast, Liana.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I can't wait to call him that. Okay. All
right. Okay. So let's start off here first. Which Survivor's first and last name might you rearrange to get the following phrases? Are you ready?
Okay.
Yes.
The first one is beginner breed.
Okay. Okay.
Beginner breed.
69.
Liana?
Ben Driebergen.
Correct. That's 1 point for Liana. Woo-hoo. Next name, Old Mercedes.
I have to remember people's last names.
This is a test.
I know, this really is.
Ooh, and clack, 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 clack.
Yes, Puya.
Cole Matters.
Correct. We are tied 1-1. Next name, Rural Kinkos.
Click, click, click.
Puya.
Katrina Radke.
Liana, do you have an answer?
I do. I have an answer. An answer is a thing that I have.
Filibuster.
And three, two, one.
About.
Give me your answer.
Lauren Rimmer. No, that's what I'm just kidding.
You've been Krampus. All right, no. The answer was Rourke Luskin. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which I feel like she didn't stick enough long around long enough that we were really saying her last name that much. But a rural Kinko's coming from Montana, that's the only kind of Kinko's there is. Like, it's not like an urban Kinko's.
Well, that reminds me of 30 Rock, the Rurger, urban. <Kinko's>.
Right. Okay. Last one for the round, a wild missile.
Oh, who had a W in their name? I can't remember anybody's last names. This isn't fair.
Krampus is giving you 5 seconds.
Damn it, Krampus.
out of time. That was Desi Williams.
Oh, yes.
So, all right. So, well, moving out of round one, Liana has 1 point. Puya has 1 point. And we are going to jump into round two. Are you ready, contestants?
Let's do this.
Yeah.
All right. In round two, we remove a letter and then scramble. For example, if you remove an A from Liana Boris, you scramble, you get Albino Sarah. Or you could also get Asian labor, but we went with Albino Sarah first.
Yeah, well, that's a mop like Meat Boy's sidekick.
Yeah.
Right. So Leon, if you had a new podcast, what would it be? Albino Sarah or Asian labor?
Yeah, I really think I'm gonna go with Albino Sarah on that one.
I feel like they both could be offensive. Right. So let's just keep moving on. So I'll give you the remove letter and the scrambled phrase. You have to give me the original survivor's name.
Oh my goodness.
For which contestant's name can you remove an M, scramble, and get Marine Ruler?
Okay. Yeah, this is going real well.
Bit of a stalemate.
Remove an M, scramble, and get Marine Ruler.
I'm just trying to remember everybody's last name. Okay, so Devin Pinto. Can I make a list along the side of my paper? Is that
Krampus
allowed?
Gives you 5 seconds.
What? Krampus? No, Krampus, no.
How do we fight back against Krampus? Is it like garlic?
Do we have to make that noise?
Be a good boy or girl. That is it.
Yeah, I don't think we're
And you're out of time. No point for that one. The answer was Lauren Rimmer.
Oh, yeah, we're real good at this.
I'm going to wait as this plane flies overhead over my house. Maybe that's John. Hey, John, glad you can make it on the show.
He's about to parachute.
There he goes.
In.
That's right. Yeah.
He's landing right now. Maybe he can hop on.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get this one. I'm ready for this one.
I don't want to lose.
Okay, this plane is going way too slow. Okay. All right. Next question. Remove an F, scramble, and get her bossy chick.
Oh, Chrissy Hofbeck. Yeah, 69, 69, 69.
She didn't buzz.
Yes, Liana.
69. Chrissy Hofbeck.
Correct. So she did say the answer, and then she did say 69 and gave the correct answer.
It's like
playing
the idol before the votes happen.
Yeah, but see, that's
it's a bit controversial here. So get ready for some backlash on Twitter.
Don't at me.
All those people going after Jordan Kalish for Twitch. You can come at us now. All right. Next one in the round. Remove an N, scramble, and get has one ally.
Aw. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. For first, when I was writing it down, I wrote the number one, and I was like, none of these contestants have the number one.
Remove an N, scramble, and get has one ally.
Six, 69.
Yes, Liana.
Ashley Nolan.
Correct.
I started.
Wow, Liana takes lead with three.
I started making a list of everybody's name, and that's really helpful.
Oh,
good. All right. What do they call that? Emergent gameplay.
Yeah, exactly. It's the emergent strategy of whatever this game was called.
Survivor Scramble, okay. By Troy.
Yes, thanks, Troy.
Troyzan? Did Troyzan submit this?
Oh, Puya, it's because you were his winner pick.
It's meant to be.
All right. We have the last one in the round here. Remove a V, scramble, and get end option.
Okay. Who had a. 69.
Yes, Liana.
Devin Pinto.
Wow, Liana is up to 4, and it's amazing how long it takes you to ring in, and you still get it right. So,
well, I have to
read
through the whole list of people.
Yes. All right. So now we're going to go into this final round here, round 3. Liana has 4. Puya has 1. Now this gets a little bit tricky here. This is kind of like a Jordan Kalish giving the rules here on a Survivor quiz. So listen carefully, okay?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Is that seriously not another plane? Is that? Is it coming back around?
John Cross is really pissed. He's like, I couldn't.
John Cross really wants to get on this podcast.
Yeah, he's just going to try and sort of parachute down onto you, like onto your house, Paul. So watch out for that.
All right, I'll keep my eye out here. So if for this final round, we are looking ahead to future Survivor seasons. Lynn Spillman called and she needs our help. They've run out of eligible contestants for the show. So we've created new castaways by mixing up the first names of 2 heroes, hustlers, and healers. As an example, you can mix up the words Rob and podcast, and you get the phrase Probst Coda.
Okay.
So, what 2 first names from Survivor HHH would mix to create the new Survivor contestant?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay,
yes.
Ready.
All right, 1 second.
This is the plane.
I ran out of plane and John Krause jokes. It's like the whole fleet is flying into the airport right now. Okay.
You couldn't stick the landing.
That's okay. Dead air.
There's not been that many planes in the Montana, but they're all landing right now. Okay, we're good. So these first 2 names, or so this new Survivor contestant, Jim Epson. These are just Survivor first names that you're putting together. Jim Epson.
Click.
Yes, Puya.
JP and Simone.
Correct. Oh. Puya, you have 2. The next new Survivor contestant's name is Jackie Port.
Wait, how do you spell Jackie?
J-A-C-K-I-E.
Okay.
Click.
Yes, Puya.
JP Katrina.
And that is incorrect. Liana, Krampus gives you 3 seconds to answer.
Okay, Krampus. I promise I've been really bad this year.
5 seconds, 6 seconds.
Not enough time. That's a Patrick and Joe. That makes a Jackie Port.
Oh, yeah. So I also got stuck with the JP. So I was like,
all right. There's 2 left, Puya. You got to get this to stay in the game.
Okay.
All right. The next Survivor contestant, Ian Kalantar.
Ooh.
That's Kalantar with a K.
All right.
Ian Kalantar.
Click.
69.
Oh, click. I heard the click before. I heard the 69. Yes, Puya.
All right. So I present to you my findings on these names. One is Katrina. Yeah.
Okay, so that's you are Katrina. Correct. Krampus is so far satisfied.
And the other one is I can't think of the person, so I need to go with Mike.
No. That is incorrect. You get 3 seconds, Liana.
Allie.
Oh, so close. It was Allen.
Oh, crap.
Katrina and Alan makes Ian Kalantar. I like how when I said that name, Ian Kalantar, you both are like, ooh, like that sounds like a Survivor winner. All right, just to finish out the formality of us here, because this Survivor here has a nickname he goes by. This is a Seismic Jake.
Does Jeff call him that?
Yes, S-E-I-S-M-I-C, Jake, Seismic Jake.
Okay.
Click.
Yes.
Jessica and Mike.
Correct. So, Puya, you finish off with 3 to Liana's 4. Liana, you won, not by much, but you did pull it out. Congratulations.
Nice.
Keeping with our tradition of the standing B&B host gets to win the prize. There also were a couple of fun ones up here. What name gets mixed up? What first and last name gets mixed up to create Up All Season?
This is and nothing has been removed.
Nope.
And this is first and last name?
This is the first and last name of someone who is up all season handwriting for the B&B.
Click, it's Paul Asselstyn.
Yes, aww. Paul Asselstyn. There you go. Yes. There's also this one. So this first and last name has four different options. Oh my God. Let me give them to you here. There's Born Secretion, October Sinner, ooh, Borneo Cistern, or Corinne Sorbet. Oh
my. Corinne Sorbet. These are all Rob Cesternino, right?
These are all Rob Cesternino. So I like these codenames of either October Sinner,
I like that,
or Corinne Sorbet.
Yeah, well, if now I know that if Mike, Rob, and I all do a podcast together, yes, we're going to have to go by our alter egos of mop-like
me boy. mop-like me boy, Albino Sarah, or was it Asian Labor? What was your final decision?
I'm going with Albino Sarah.
Albino Sarah and or Born Secretion / October Sinner / Corinne Sorbet. And finally, if you combine Bloom and Boris, you get Solar Bamboo.
Ooh.
So nice. There's another spin-off for the B&B is a Solar Bamboo.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, I feel like that's something I saw on Shark Tank last week.
Yes. Yeah, so thank you so much, Troy, for submitting that was a lot of fun. You put a lot of work into it, so thank you so much for reaching out and submitting that game.
Okay, so speaking of Julie Chen, who we talked about earlier, we're now going to play a game called Bot First.
Oh, I'm so happy I'm here for this, Liana. Yeah. I am so happy.
Well, yes. So Paul is, how would you, you're a huge fan of Julie Chen, right? You would say that.
Oh, I am number one Julie Chen fanboy. Absolutely. Yes. I did a podcast at the end of 2000, almost coming up a year on it now. That's right. I did a podcast with Jordan Parhar talking about the best Julie Chen moments of all time. So I'm a huge Julie Chen fan.
So since we knew that and we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the Twitter bots that we've seen over the past couple seasons that have been developed, that's how we came up with Bot First. So the way this game is going to work is we're going to alternate. Puya and Paul, we're going to go back and forth between the two of you, and I'm going to read you a tweet that was tweeted by one of the three bots, either the Rupert bot, the Russell Hance bot, or the JP bot.
Okay.
And if you're interested in finding any of these bots on Twitter, Rupert is at RoopBot, the Russell Hance bot is at the Hance bot, and the JP bot is at JP and Things bot. So we're gonna do this. I have a number of quotes. So if you'd like, you can work through your reasoning. If you have a gut feeling, just go ahead and say it. But are you ready to play Bot First?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Let's do this.
Resounding yes. All right, Puyo. So we're going to start with you.
Okay.
All right. So your first tweet is challenge tonight. And if show good, don't the feelings all respond? Winky face, # survivor.
Oh, there's a winky face in
there's,
there?
There's a winky face. So was this Rupert, Russell, or JP bot?
All right.
A winky face? That sounds like Puya.
It's like, is this a Puya bot? Okay, I didn't know there was a Russell Hance bot. I don't know how. I've never seen it. And I do follow the other two. None of them emoji, so I'm gonna go with the Russell Hance bot.
That is correct. It was the Russell Hance bot. Okay, Paul, your tweet is you don't want to take days, underpants it.
Okay, I feel like the underpants like has to be like somehow in the algorithm for a JP here, so I'm gonna go JP bot.
It was actually the Rupert bot.
What? Why is he talking about underpants?
No one knows.
They're not even tie-dyed or anything.
Well, maybe they were in this circumstance.
Oh, okay.
Okay, all right. So, Puya, your next tweet is Cole is to be the pole, and get it has to be their side of the game.
Astute.
Hey, can you repeat that?
I'll do my
why that made so much sense.
Yeah, this is this is the Ibsen of our day. Okay, this your tweet is Cole is to be the pole and get it has to be their side of the game.
Cole, pole, get it. I'm gonna go with Rupert.
What's the Rupert?
Yeah,
I don't know what he has with underpants and pole is to be the pole, but that seems to be a theme.
Yeah, Rupert's pretty inappropriate. Like, very, very tries to be inappropriate. So,
right.
Yeah, I see you.
He's like Liana, like dirty 69 mind.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, it's like, I'm not that clever, okay? And I run out of jokes very quickly, so I just sort of revert back to whatever childhood jokes I can think of. Okay,
yeah.
So, Paul, your next tweet is, this might give it away, that's in for the moment to a big success tonight with you, smiley face, hashtag survivor.
What?
That's in for the moment to a big success tonight with you, smiley face, hashtag survivor.
I'm gonna guess the smiley face is like, this is like Russell Hance, like kind of hitting on some like blonde Ashley. So I'm going to say Russell.
Yes, it is. That's correct.
Okay, good.
It's your Russell Hance spot. Okay, Puya, your next tweet is, at the end of the day, it's all about getting things done and taking care, I mean, of business.
Oh, this is easy.
Music to my ears. Okay, so this is a hard one, obviously. I got to think it over. And then, you know, I gotta maybe try and figure it out and somehow, you know, get the answer and whatnot. And JP is my answer and things like that.
Yes, that is correct. Okay. The JP, here's what I will say about the JP bot. My original game plan was we would play a game that was either the JP bot or real JP. And I started making up this quiz and I was like, this is the hardest thing. This is going to be the hardest game because the JP bot is eerily similar to actual JP.
Very accurate.
You should have just done like a Mad Libs game, just all about JP. There would have been so much to do.
Yeah, it would have been like a filler word and a pronoun. Okay, Paul, so your next tweet is someone's mad one day or irritable and just then they're not the just next.
What? I feel like that's kind of just like an observation of like the grand knowledge that Rupert is providing about Survivor and giving us such great insights. So I'm going to go with the Rupert bot.
It was actually JP.
JP. Yeah.
What?
Yes. This is. Sorry,
I'm not
Paul,
good
this
at
might,
this game.
Might not be your game.
When I hear bot, I expect to have Julie Chen questions like, right. In which season of Big Brother did Julie start the game in a hippie-esque outfit? And I would say season three.
Yeah, when's the last time Julie wore jeans and everyone was up in arms about it?
Okay. Oh, what a great moment. What a great woman.
All right, Puya, your next tweet is Mike Jutt's look at the cocks of this game. Hashtag survivor.
It's Rupert Bot.
That's correct. Yeah. This isn't fair. Have you been reading all the Rupert tweets?
No, but like, okay, so here's how I'll describe the three, you know? So for someone who's not on Twitter, you should join. We are a fun bunch and get angry at each other for ridiculous reasons. So immediately after the first one, I realized, okay, if there's an emoji, it's Russell Hance. That's easy. Rupert is dirty. I'm telling you, his mind is dirty. Rupert is a nasty, nasty mother. Then JP, he's accurate. JP is on point. I can pick any JP bot tweet out because it makes sense for JP. So... yes,
like
this is my
clarify.
Game.
Yeah, I'm not on Twitter enough to do this, so I see why I suck.
It makes sense for JP. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Paul. So your next tweet is, Miles looked at all correct alcohol. Hashtag survivor. Hashtag survivor.
Is that Miles Nye?
just Miles. It could be Miles Nye. No, it's actually spelled differently. So it's spelled with an I, not a Y.
So say it one more time for me.
Miles looked all correct alcohol with an exclamation point. Hashtag survivor. Hashtag survivor.
Okay, so it's not dirty. Mm-hmm. Not a giveaway emoji. I'll say JP.
It was Rupert. It was the Rupert.
Oh my god. I feel like Puya's playing with me here. He's trying to like
yeah, this is the okay. The emergent strategy of bot first.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Puya. Your next quote is: "You can't imagine how secluded you feel smelling the game. No phone, the contact with lawn for 30 days, then bam, it's emotional." Hashtag survivor.
Bam. Wait. Contact with
contact
who?
With Juan?
With Lawn, L-A-W-N, for 30 days.
Is that one of the new survivors, along with Ian, Ian Calendar? Or whatever his name was.
Lawn Feehan, season 37.
It's her long-lost cousin.
Yeah. Okay, so this is not JP. So this leaves me with two. Do I think that Russell would have Lawn in his algorithm? Sure. Let's go with Russell. It's Russell.
It was Rupert.
Ooh.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
It's okay. You can lose 1 point.
I'll deal with this loss.
Okay. All right. Actually, you know what? I think I pulled a Jordan Kalish, and I think I forgot to start to continue marking the points down.
Oh, I've got them written down.
Okay.
Well, I started, and then I was like, "Hey, hopefully Liana will pull Liana and not remember the points, and then maybe I can still win this because I stopped about 4 points into this too. Once it was a 3 to Puya and 1 to me, and that was quite a while ago.
Yeah, it's 4-1.
Oh, okay, 4-1. That's the score I have right now too. It's also 3-1. Okay. Look, you know, it's a rush morning. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Paul, your next tweet is smiley face. You, my idiots at screwed.com. LMAO. I like the mistake. Smiley face. Hashtag survivor.
Russell.
That's correct. Yes.
Yes. I've learned something.
Nice.
Right. I just like that he tweeted at screwed.com. It was like screwed.com. I don't know if that's an actual website. Okay. Puya,
I'm going to suggest you do not go there on your work computer.
Yeah, don't.
NSFW for sure. Okay, Puya, your next tweet is Survivor is all about timing, and they so beat me to the punch.
What? This is a bot? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
All right. Can you repeat it one more time?
Survivor is all about timing, and they so beat me to the punch.
Ooh, you know, if this is a JP one, I'm going to hate myself. I'm going to go with Rupert.
It was JP.
Ah!
You're not following your own rules.
Yeah, I decided to start shaking it up, and it's really coming against me. Because I knew because I've seen one of the JP bot's tweets where it's like, oh, this doesn't have any of the JP-isms. This is actually a well thought out tweet.
Mm-hmm.
So this was that one, I guess.
Well, see, I don't know if you know this, but I'm actually trying to trick you on these. I know.
What? You're shenanigans. I call shenanigans.
Whatever. All right, Paul, your next tweet is every group of people is so different.
That's definitely is that some Rupert no, Rupert's supposed to be pervy. But I'll say Rupert.
It was JP.
Oh. See?
Eloquent as always. Okay, all right. So we are down to our last two quotes. So I think, Paul, you have been mathematically.
And if I get it right, I get 10 points and win. That's all right, right. Let's go.
You know what? You're filling in as the co-host. You're allowed to make up the rules. Okay.
Oh, sweet.
What?
That was easier than I thought.
What? No. Okay. I'm almost about to win.
Uh-huh.
You're so strict with these rules on these games, Liana. You really are the taskmaster here.
No, I know. Definitely the taskmaster. So, Puya, your last quote or tweet is, my first wants it to do some things, you get always... Sorry, this is really hard to read. Okay, let me start again. My first wants it to do some things, you get place is always work together, challenge... And as we say, any friend him in out like an expletive, but it says the word expletive. I didn't have to bleep something out. So if you can figure out what that garbled mess was, you get a point.
Okay, so I don't follow the hand spot, but the hand spot has been using emojis, so that I don't want to say it's hands. That leaves JP and Rupert. JP does ramble. Like, there are tweets where it's like, yep, you're definitely using all your characters. But never that kind of a mess. But Rupert does leave messy sentence structure like that. I'm going to go with Rupert to end it.
That is correct. It was the Rupert.
Thank you.
Okay, Paul. So this is our final question for you for 10 points. So you can
yes.
Oh, no.
Puya, you're a guest. You weren't even scheduled to be on this podcast.
Okay.
All right, here you go.
I'll probably still get it wrong. So anyway, Liana.
Very optimistic of you. All right. Especially guy as special and unique as a duck-sized horse or a horse-stopped duck. Sorry. I can't get through that without laughing. Especially guy as special and unique as a duck-sized horse or a horse-stopped duck.
That is JP.
It was Rupert.
I almost said Rupert. God dang it.
Yeah, I don't. Just, that one made me laugh so hard. I was like, a duck. Because, you know, you've heard the phrase, right? Like a duck sized horse or what is
well,
it?
I
like
was just thinking the animals. I'm thinking about like JP. I just, there's no logic to these. I don't understand the bot pattern, the linguistical whatever stuff with bots. So,
okay.
Well deserved, Puya.
Well, you teach German, right? So next time we'll just do them all in German and this will be really funny.
Thanks. Yeah. Yes, I was challenged Puya to a rematch.
That's yes, right. I think, I don't know, Paul. I think, you know, as the champion of this game now, I think you have much potential moving forward.
Potential.
Oh, thank you. How did it take you all game to come up with that?
No,
probably. So the Rupert bot actually just tweeted out the number 49 once, which I thought was really funny. But
oh, you're like, oh, 20 so more would have been really funny.
So close. Yes. There. Yeah, there were.
Liana just replies to that tweet with plus 20 lol.
I amuse myself. Okay, so after all of that silliness, let's continue it with talking about our question of the week. So the question that we asked last week was for you to create the most minimalist Survivor challenge. And we had a plethora of answers. So we're going to run through a few of your responses and then we'll talk about what our responses would have been.
I just read one and just laughed. Just like I hadn't looked at these yet. And I just read one from Shut Up Tim that just says, guess what number Jeff is thinking?
Yeah, exactly. That one's great. This is the truth.
And then he could, I wonder which contestants would be more likely to get it right. I'm guessing maybe some contestants who go by just their last name and might be male and anyway.
Right. Yeah. Cause if Jeff never has to write it down beforehand, just take it.
Well, we
can
actually do that one on the podcast right now. I bet I could guess what number you're guessing, Liana.
Okay. All right. Okay. I got a number.
I'm guessing 69.
Yes!
Sorry, Puya yeah. Didn't get a chance.
That's okay. You buzzed in first.
Can you add those 10 points to that last game?
No. Move on, Paul. It's done.
And we have a my apologies to all listeners out there. We have a scoring correction that I really need to address.
Don't you yes. Don't you reverse Steve Harvey me? Don't you do it? Don't do it.
And Paul was the winner of the bot first challenge. Okay.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay. So we had, like I said, we had a number of responses, a couple of which involved sleeping, which I really liked. So Felipe said, who can fall asleep on the ground the fastest? And Emele said, who can stay awake the longest? So I thought both of those had some potential.
Yes, Tim had another good one here, and apropos for our podcast here, that Jeff doesn't bother to show up, but Troyzan hosts instead.
So,
so that's just for that's for you.
Well, I wanted to ask that, right? Do we think it's worse if Troyzan shows up instead of Jeff not showing up at all, and we have the sort of like bocce ball like challenge from Samoa? Like, which is worse?
Yeah, I don't know what is worse than that.
Puya, what do you think? He was your he picked you as the winner.
I think it'd be fun. And I'm like, it, maybe it's just because all I can think about is that all the sound drops Rob can pick up for us and give us throughout the week and moving forward. I think it would be fun. I think we'd have a lot of fun with that. One time, though, not forever. One time.
I don't know why some of these are cracking me up so much. Dan said, first person to roll from their back to their stomach. Like, are they in some weird contraption or just literally, okay, everyone on your back, let's go.
No. I think it's that. But my first, so, you know, I'm at an age now where a lot of my friends are starting to have kids, and all I could think about was, like, toddlers, like, doing tummy time and trying to roll over. And I just couldn't stop laughing thinking about survivors doing that and that being a legit challenge. Well, it's funny because Dan also said the first person to name their favorite Survivor contestant, which I thought would be really funny if they, like, Jeff Probst is like, no.
Incorrect. Not your favorite.
You're
try
wrong.
Again.
That's right. You said
who? No. Well, you know, Brendan Fitzpatrick here, he had one that it seems kind of like a snore fest. So I think we might have to snuff this one, but it's called hands on a hard idol. Everyone's touching the totem, and the first person to lift their hand wins immunity.
Mm, the Russell hands challenge.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a stretch. Well, he did have another one, though, that I did really like, which was the final four play musical chairs for final immunity. And the reason why, yes, I like it is because Jeff Probst has to hum the Survivor theme song.
Yes, he has to. Well, it's funny that, you know, he said that, because what I was thinking of, when I was going to share on the podcast, and mine was musical too. I just was kind of picturing, like, Jeff comes to camp, brings, like, well, this is funnier if he's humming, but, like, just plays music and it's like freeze dance. You know, you get like the Fijian, like, choir out there or something, and they're playing and singing, and then they have to freeze. And, like, the first person to move, they sit down and they're out. And then they just keep, like, you know, dancing and stopping the music, and that would be pretty fun.
I love this. I would also like to think of, like, what dance moves all of them would do, you know, like, who's going to be the requisite robot, you know, like, who's going to do the Macarena.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. So Garrett wrote in and said, in honor of Dora, Lauren Rimmer, who can pick up the most shells from the beach? Just a general shell collecting challenge. I thought that would be fun.
For the whole family.
One for the whole family. Yeah, exactly. And then Tia had an answer that's actually similar to what I was going to say. Tic-tac-toe. Classic.
Oh, fun.
Very easy. Okay, so let's get into what we would suggest for the most minimalist challenge on Survivor. Puya, what were you thinking?
Pretty minimalist. You know, Jeff isn't there. There's a bag in front of him. There is, let's say, 7 people left. There are 6 white rocks, 1 black. The person who picks the black rock is out of contention, and now they must pick the next person who's out of contention, and they pick the next person, and so on until one person wins immunity.
So it's like a really simplified version of the coconut chop challenge?
Pretty much. Or like a zombie game kind of thing.
Yes, the zombie game. Oh, BBOTT flashbacks.
No, Paul, make it stop.
Paul, what were you thinking for your minimalist challenge?
Well, I mean, I gave up my really good musical chairs ones, but one that would actually be, I think, I don't know exactly how you'd work it, but, like, I think one of my favorite challenges on Big Brother, and everyone on this panel is a Big Brother fan, is when they have to tear up the house to find the veto and they hide it. I feel like this would actually now play, you know, in the early seasons of Survivor, we had challenges that kind of reflected what it required to succeed in the game and in survival. So we had fire building challenges, and, you know, you had challenges where you built, like, you had to tie sticks together and try to escape from a cage, and they were kind of like they reflected the game itself. Well, now such a huge part of the game is finding idols and things. I feel like we should have some challenge where there's stuff that's like that, where there's some big set or at their camp or something, and it's a little bit hard with how you'd film it, because with Big Brother they do the rotation where, like, you know, you kind of cut to next person hiding things, but they kind of started to do that with the spaghetti reward stuff. So I just want some challenge where we're literally just hiding things and that we're tearing things apart to find them.
Plus, this also fits with my grand theory of the deforestation of Fiji, and I feel like they're going to be tearing up the Fijian jungle. This goes right along with that. So for my answers, I got really excited about this. So I actually took a class in college in undergrad called Playground Games. Yes, I know, my student loans thank
Whoa.
Me. And we played a number of random just playground games. So we played like Duck Duck Goose and Hopscotch and Foursquare. So I think any one of those could really be a fun minimalist game. But I ultimately wanted to go with the floor is lava. I think that would be really fun. Plus, yeah, they could play it with actual lava. Which there's no legal ramifications, I'm sure.
Yeah, that is terrifying.
Yeah. A couple other ideas I had were Pogs or Thumb War. So, like, I'm wrestling. Okay, so those are our answers to the question. Now, the new question for this week, we saw Ryan and Mike paired up together during the reward challenge, and it was pretty amusing. So the question this week is, what is the funniest pairing of two survivors that would have to compete together in a challenge? So this this doesn't have to be something that actually happened. You can give a fictional answer if you'd like and come up with two contestants. And you can answer this question by tweeting at us using hashtag RHAPBNB. You can also leave a comment on the Rob Has a Podcast patron group on Facebook, Reddit, and also on robhasawebsite.com. And of course, you know, give us your answers to the week. And I know that this season is almost wrapping up, we're almost done, but if you have any general suggestions for the BNB or any games that you would like to suggest, please feel free to give us those as well. So thank you so much, Puya, for filling in last minute. This is a little bit of an ordeal, but how can people find you on social media?
First of all, thank you both of you for having me on. Not only did I have fun with this, but also it was fun being part of the first show you've hosted proper, Liana, so I'm glad to be a part of that as well. Anyone that wants to follow me on social media can do so at Puyaism. So my full name, PoyaIsm.
Yeah, so next time I host, you know, it'll be like, welcome everybody to the RHAP BNB. You know, I'm a mop like meat boy.
I'm Albino Sarah.
Do you think you're going to be asked to host again, Liana?
Oh, after this disaster, absolutely not.
I'm just wondering, just a clarifying question.
No judgment here. I'm not implying anything. I'm just saying.
It was a fun ride.
Sure. And Paul, thank you again so much for stepping in. For me, last week when I was stuck in Austin due to snow in the South, which is insane. But what else have you been up to and how can people follow you on social media?
Yeah, you got all our snow. We have none here in Montana, which is super ironic. But you can find my 1 to 2 tweets a week by finding me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Osselson. So Paul and then Asselson. And I don't have, you know, 500 podcasts like Mike Bloom. So pretty easy to find. The big news was the Survivor Historians and the Funny 115 went through this whole thing with, you know, Mario Lanza runs the site and he was going to have to shut things down. And then he put up a GoFundMe page and graciously the listeners of Survivor Historians and the readers of Funny 115 donated $3,000 like in the matter of like 2 days or something. Yeah. And he really upgraded Mario's his, you know, all the internet stuff on his end to move everything over to this new hosting site. And so the Funny 115 is up and running again. All the Historians podcasts are there. We're not currently talking about a Survivor season. We wrapped up Survivor Token Chains, but before long we will be diving into Survivor Samoa. So you can definitely find me over there.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Funny 115, I mean, it's Mario's writing is just absolutely hilarious. And so I would really suggest that you check it out. And of course, all the wonderful work that they do for the Historians. Speaking of a Survivor Historian, so Mike is not here this week, obviously. He's doing the Voicemails podcast, plugging along with all of his exit interviews on Parade. He's also doing Top Chef coverage as well as exit interviews for Top Chef, also on Parade. And he told me that he, quote, has a fun, amazing race thing planned for the beginning of next week. So I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it will be fun. Paul, maybe you can tell us what that is in your best Mike Bloom voice.
Oh, well, you gotta turn out and listen to the show prop before I can tell you what that is. I'm at a Mike Bloom type on Twitter.
Yes.
I'm trying to think, what else does Mike always say?
Oh my gosh, we always end the show with a bye-bye. I'm like, okay, Mike, can we not say that?
Yeah.
Okay, no, Mike is wonderful. Check him out, and he will be back with me next week with our guest, Miles Nye, actually. And so you may have heard him on a number of feedback shows in the main feed, and we're really excited to have him after the finale of Survivor Season 35. Of course, you can always follow me on Twitter at Liana Boris, LianaBoras. And thank you for staying with us here at the BNB, and come back soon.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if this all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB.